And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let us pray. Holy Father, we pray that will bless this word to our hearts, that this year, 2020, this new decade, may begin by personal improvement in every way, through the glory of thy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Making of New Year's resolutions is a custom that arises from the change in the date of the calendar, the beginning of a new year, and new opportunities. My theme for this New Year's sermon is that 2020 offers new opportunities for growth towards God. And our example for growth is the Lord Jesus Christ. As God, he cannot be our example. He's infinite, eternal, unchangeable. We are finite, temporal, and changeable. However, he added to himself a true human nature, a nature as human as you and I. And so his growth in his human nature can be an example for us. We don't find it hard to believe that Jesus grew spiritually. We've just had a season where we're used to seeing manger scenes, the baby Jesus in the manger. We have no trouble believing that this baby grew into a grown man physically. But as a real human, he had to grow in other aspects of his humanity as well. And that's what our text is speaking about. So Jesus can be our example. We're accustomed to having biblical heroes for our example. We sing, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Or we think of St. Peter, who said, Jesus set us an example that we should walk in his steps. Other examples could be, think especially this time of year, the Virgin Mary. What an example she was of goodness and patience and faith and humility and obedience. But surely, our supreme example is Jesus, of the perfect man. He increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Let's begin with verse 51. And he went on with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You saw the context of this. Jesus, at the age of 12, went with his parents to the Passover in Jerusalem. When they found him in the temple, they asked him why he had done this, and he said, he had to be about his father's business. Even as a child, he was always about his father's business. Then it says, he was subject unto them. He is their Lord and their God, and yet he made himself subject to their authority, because that's God's law. God's law is we be subject to human authority. Honor thy father and thy mother is the beginning of this principle. Then we're told in the civil sphere, obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The church, we're told, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. They watch for your souls. So the one who created Joseph and Mary made himself subject unto them as an obedient child. This is a marvelous humiliation of the incarnation. Our catechism says Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born. Now for you and me, being born was not a humiliation. It was an exaltation. We went from nothingness to being. with the marvelous gift of life. I think the most amazing emotional experience I ever had was seeing my children born, a new life come into the world. But with Jesus, with Christ, this was an amazing humiliation. He who built the starry skies now within a cradle lies. But he had to do this to accomplish our salvation. We usually think of the salvation of Christ being accomplished on the cross. After all, on the cross he took our punishment for our sins, so we won't be judged. He was judged in our place. But you know, the cross alone would not have saved you? Because in addition to owing God judgment and punishment, you owe him a perfect life. Our Lord's perfect life is called his active obedience. His death on the cross is called his passive obedience. When the founder of Westminster Seminary lay dying, Dr. J. Gresham Machen, he sent a telegram to Westminster Seminary, to a professor friend of his, John Murray. The telegram said, "Thank God for Jesus' active obedience." He was going into paradise confident that Jesus had accomplished everything that he owed God. You know, if Jesus died for your sins, you would still owe him a perfect life. He satisfied one debt, you'd still have the other debt. You'd be right back where Adam was. Now you're justified, no sins, but the first time you sin, you'd be damned again. But his perfect life, from his passive obedience, paid everything along with the cross. Now let's look at the four ways Christ grew, and we can grow this way in the new year as well. He increased in wisdom. He grew intellectually. No matter what age you are, you can grow intellectually. If you don't exercise your body, your muscles become weak. If you don't exercise your mind becomes weak. We live in an age where it's very easy to obtain books. It hasn't been always that way. And in seminary, we were taught that even though we preachers like to read theology, we should be wider read than that. We should be read in the arts and the science. You know, I like to read history. I'm reading a book now on the Royal Navy, the history of Royal Navy, and how it changed the commerce of the whole world right down to the present day. Is it spiritual to read history? It is if you believe in providence. God controls all his creatures and all their actions. History is his story. And so here we have an account of what God has done, and we can learn from it. Or the arts. Can you look at anything in nature and not see that God is an amazing artist who delights in beauty? Last year when I was in England, I was walking through a magnificent garden, all sorts of flowers. And I was walking with an English doctor who was also on the ship, and I said, "Isn't it obvious God is an amazing artist?" Science. The more science uncovers, the more wonderful the Creator seems, who made it all. It all points to an infinite intellect. The growing in wisdom cannot really be accomplished without God's Word. If you read the whole Bible through last year, now is the time to do it again. If you never read the Bible all the way, cover to cover, this is the year to do it. You know how long that takes? I have a one-year Bible. It takes me 15 minutes a day. And I read the Bible cover to cover in 1 year, and the Psalms twice. How long do you spend watching TV? Probably more than 15 minutes. What an investment this is to grow in wisdom. A member of this church told me once that my preaching on this before encouraged him to read the Bible through in a year. He had been a Christian a long time, but he said, you know, I did it, and it changed my life. Next, he grew in stature. He grew physically. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You're steward of your health. Now, let me say something about red meat, wine, coffee, occasional sweets. It's all okay. In moderation. I try to eat healthy. I'm not a health fanatic, but I do. I don't put bad motor oil in my vehicle. I don't try to put bad food in me. I occasionally have a scoop of ice cream, or if there's a whole plate of cookies, I'll take one with my coffee. I have lunch once a week at my club. The fellow I dine with, he always takes a dessert. I never do. It's always some gooey nonsense. He says, what do you want to do, live forever? And I said, no, I could go to heaven today. I'd be fine with that. I just want to feel good while I'm here. Exercise. You know, they say 30 minutes a day just of walking for 5 days a week does wonders for your health. Behavioral scientists say if you're trying to start a new good habit, you should start small. You know, don't make some huge goal for you so by January 18th you quit. That's how most resolutions go. If 30 minutes is too long, I walk 30 minutes 5 days a week, sometimes six. I pray the whole time I do, so I'm getting two kinds of exercise. But start by walking around the block. In a couple of weeks, walk around two blocks. Before you know it, be walking 30 minutes. Prove physically, he grew in stature. Next, he grew in favor with God. Now, Jesus was always in favor of God, of course, but he grew in it. In his human nature, he grew ever closer to God. Isn't that what you want? You ever sing that song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee? Granted, Jesus is my plea. What's the most important thing about growing in favor with God? Well, Jesus said, if you love me, what? You'll keep my commandments. It's obedience, pure and simple. Living by the Ten Commandments, living by God's precepts, the direction of his word, it's a way to grow in favor with God. I frequently pray, by that I mean almost every day, Lord, make me a son who is pleasing to thee. Finally, Jesus grew in favor with man. He grew socially. Now, if you're really a good person, it doesn't mean everyone's going to like you. Not everyone liked Jesus. In fact, some people will be offended if you're a holy person and will dislike you for it. But those of goodwill will be attracted to someone who is kind, loving, and generous, honest, and even by common grace, because of the residual Christianity in our culture, most unsaved people will admire a good person. Growing socially, Jesus makes this easy to understand. The second of all commandments, love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. St. James calls this the royal law. Well, in conclusion, Holy Communion is a time of self-examination, of endeavor, of new obedience, Let's pray that God will grant us in this new year to grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Let us pray. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray that we might take Jesus' human life as our example of the perfect human life, and that we, like him, may ever be advancing in goodness, holiness, and righteousness. Amen.